to Capitol Hill now, and let's think about politicians. Often they're trying to tell us without any confusion that they're politicians. They're not scientists.
I'm not a scientist, nor am I a physicist.
I'm not qualified to debate the science over climate change.
I'm not a scientist.
I'm not a scientist.
What I have said repeatedly is I'm not a scientist.
Now, if you are careful there, you detect the voices of John Huntsman, John Boehner, Mitt Romney, Florida Governor Rick Scott, and Mitch McConnell, all Republicans, saying they are not scientists. I'm sure we could find Democrats who say the same thing. But these Republican leaders are going to be leading major committees, some of them, that control science and space funding and policy in the new Congress. Republican Senator James Inhofe, the new chairman of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, is in charge of that policy, even though he has vowed to rein in environmental regulations set by the EPA, an agency he's referred to as a Gestapo agency. Meanwhile, another self-proclaimed global warming skeptic, Republican Senator Ted Cruz, is the new chair of the Senate Subcommittee on Space, Science, and Competitiveness, where he will oversee NASA and science programming. Is this a good time for science or not so much? Joining me is Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Welcome, Todd.
Hi, John.
And Jeff Faust joins us, senior staff writer for Space News. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
And let's get just the right off the top of your head the sense of, is this a good time for science in the Congress? Are we going to see a lot of radical changes moving forward? Todd?
Well, you know, there's some experience already with Senator James Inhofe. He was already the chairman of the Environment and Public Works Committee back in 2003 for 4 years. So you can go back and look at Inhofe's record. Now, a lot of people point to Inhofe's book that he wrote. It's called The Greatest Hoax. It's about climate change. And that'll tell you a lot of what you need to know about his agenda. James Inhofe has already said that this year on the committee as chairman of Environment and Public Works, he's going to hold hearings and try to get legislation and or riders, which means policy tucked into bigger bills that have to move, going after EPA regulations on power plant emissions, on carbon emissions, on the president's overall climate change agenda, and on rules cutting methane, John, from oil and gas plants.
And that could mean that we could be hearing rhetoric more like this from Senator Inhofe. Here he is speaking on the Voice of Christian Youth back in 2012.
Actually, the Genesis 8:22 that I use in there is, as long as the earth remains, there will be springtime, harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. My point is, God's still up there. And this is the arrogance of people to think that we, human beings, would be able to change what he is doing in the climate is, to me, outrageous.
And here's Senator Inhofe on Fox News.
Those individuals from the far left, and I'm talking about the Hollywood elitists and the United Nations, and those individuals want us to believe it's because we are contributing CO2 to the atmosphere that's causing global warming. It's all about money. I mean, what would happen to the Weather Channel's ratings if all of a sudden people weren't scared anymore?
And Inhofe is, you know, certainly talking in the midst of a campaign there. Will he temper his rhetoric, do you think, in this Congress, Todd?
It's unlikely, John. I don't know for sure, of course, but James Inhofe isn't known for tempering his rhetoric. There's no reason to believe he would start now. Let's also point out he's from Oklahoma, major oil and gas producer, at least oil producer, gets a lot of money from oil and drilling interests. He's not alone. A lot of Republicans do, and a lot of Democrats, too. Inhofe has said in profiles when people question how much money he gets from oil and gas, he smirks and says, not enough. So don't expect any mitigation from him. Don't expect any apologies. Expect the same James Inhofe you've had since 2003 on the environment.
Meanwhile, it's a different story for space, perhaps. Ted Cruz, Republican senator from Texas, is well known as a fiscal conservative who doesn't like to spend money and has actually been responsible for cutting NASA's budget. He's now in control of the Science and Transportation Subcommittee on Science and Space. Here he is talking about his new responsibility.
Space flight and our capacity to maintain world-leading advantage in space flight is a critical priority for the nation and certainly a critical priority both for the states of Texas and the state of Florida.
State of Florida, where Cape Canaveral is, state of Texas, where Houston Mission Control is. Jeff Faust, is Ted Cruz likely to do an LBJ here and basically turn NASA into a real pork barrel agency that he's going to fund and support and advocate?
Well, I think one area that he is going to look at in this Congress is NASA's human spaceflight program. That's a much larger part of the budget than its science program. And it's an area where there's a lot of question about NASA's long-term plans. Nearly everyone agrees that NASA's long-term goal should be to send humans to Mars, but that won't be until sometime in the 2030s at the earliest. There's a lot of question about what NASA should do next after the International Space Station. NASA has plans to do what it calls an asteroid redirect mission, moving a small asteroid into orbit around the moon, which astronauts would then go visit. There's a lot of skepticism about that in both the scientific community and in Congress. Some would rather see humans return to the moon, although there's nothing in the budget that would support such a mission anytime soon. So I would suspect that Senator Cruz, in his role as chairman of that subcommittee, would pay particular attention to what NASA's human spaceflight program should be doing in the years to come.
And there's no way, Todd, that the space program in our time can embody the passions of the Cold War that it did during John Kennedy and LBJ's time, is there?
No, there isn't, because the overall budget just doesn't allow it, nor does the, I think, the spirit of exploration. But look, Ted Cruz has jurisdiction over NASA to a limited degree. He doesn't write the checks. He's not an appropriator. Ted Cruz is on the side of manned spaceflight. He represents Houston, but watch out for NASA's climate change budget. They do a lot of research there as well.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, and Jeff Faust, senior staff writer for Space News. Thanks to both of you.
You got it, John.
Thank you.